Kia ora, I'm Cherie Kinnear.
And I'm Katie Harris, and welcome to In The Loop. The dating world has arguably never been more complicated to navigate than it is today.
The rise of technology and social media has made it easier to connect with others, but hasn't necessarily made finding a meaningful connection simpler.
From endless swiping on dating apps to decoding complicated mixed signals, modern dating can be a minefield.
Today on the podcast, we're joined by Bumble's resident sexologist, Chantal Otten, to chat about modern romance, the latest dating trends, and non-monogamy.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Chantal.
I'm excited to be here.
Jump straight into all the questions, do you want to give yourself a little bit of an introduction to the listeners?
Yes. My name is Chantal Otten. I'm a sexologist, which is kind of like a fancy word for, in my case, a sex therapist. And basically, I would say I'm kind of like a detective into people's sex lives. So if they're having any difficulties, or if they feel like things are a little bit off, or they just want to have more fun, it's my job to help them reach their goals with sexuality. And I also run one of the largest sexology clinics in Australia. It's a multidisciplinary clinic. And then I'm the author of a book and partner at Bumble and Bumble's resident sexologist.
Love Amazing. It. I love that, a detective into people's
I know, that's
sex
such
life.
A good way to put it. So how did you actually get into this line of work?
I studied psychology and I really loved it. I've always been into helping people. I have a sister with an intellectual disability, so I also grew up around helping others. And I guess when I finished psych, I didn't want to be a generalized psychologist. I don't know, it wasn't pulling me in that direction. I read Esther Perel's book, Mating in Captivity.
Ooh,
and
I love
Esther
Perel.
Wow, I really want to do this for my generation. So I enrolled in my science med degree. I did that through Sydney University, but I also lived in Amsterdam at the same time and studied sexology there.
Wow. And so what's the day-to-day like as a sexologist? Like, what is your bread and butter, or is every day different?
I think if you had asked me this a few years ago, there would have been a more consistent answer, because that's when I really was working like long hours with patients every day. But now I have 20 staff. So I, you know, a lot of my time is spent between managing my organization. Yes, seeing very challenging patients. I only work pro bono. So I only work with people who cannot afford to have sessions. And that might be quite vulnerable or in and out of kind of the system or government care. And then I guess also like working with my sponsors, working on other projects to really try and advance the public education around sexuality is my main bread and butter. And that means that I'm traveling a lot. You know, in the past month, I've been to 5 countries and I've been interstate a few times already. And there's really no day to day. I don't have a regular schedule.
And so how do you think sex and dating as a whole has changed throughout your time, even just working in this space or even throughout your life?
I think that there's been a really massive shift in regards to our availabilities around technology as well. I think that, you know, a few years ago, definitely when I became a sexologist, of course we had apps and, you know, we did have Bumble back then, but I think because of COVID, it's really taken a front seat in regards to how a lot of people date, because, you know, we were not able to meet up with people. And I think that we can see also Bumble has done some dating trends. So they've really had a look at what's changing in 2023. And they've seen that people are changing the way that they date in multiple ways. We're I guess, leaning into trends like open casting, so dating beyond your usual type, which I think is super important. I think we're really prioritizing our boundaries, which is super important as well, because, you know, a lot of us are having to figure out what are our needs and how do we really maintain our autonomy within relationships. So that's called guardrailing, that trend. A lot of people are coming out of long-term relationships or having a bit of a dating renaissance. So they're coming out and they're going, okay, how do I reinvent? What are the new rules of dating now? And, you know, how do I lean into that at the same time? I think we see a lot of people traveling again, which is awesome. So we have a bit more wonder love. And then, you know, with the rise of, I guess, really prominent femme feminist figures in Australia in the past few years, we can see a lot of people really questioning their masculinity and seeing, okay, well, what is modern masculinity as well these days? Because that landscape is changing quite rapidly.
I find those trends and the way things have changed so, so interesting. And the open casting, I'd never heard that term before, but I think it's really interesting. And you're so right, like people have started to kind of look at maybe dating people, getting to know people that are outside their classic type. You know, we always hear this like my type on paper, you know, and what people look for. Yeah, but how important would you say that initial sexual attraction is to the start of a relationship or when you're meeting someone for the first time? Because often we hear this phrase of, you know, people grow on you, or you might not have that initial attraction, but they become more attractive over time. But how important is that, do you think?
I think it's pretty important, actually, especially to Kiwis. We had the Modern Romance Report. I don't know if you remember reading that, but there was a stat that said 70% of Kiwis admitted that sexual compatibility was really important in the early stages of dating. So whilst as a sexologist, I really believe that, you know, you can work on sexual attraction and sexual confidence and compatibility, I understand that probably in 2023, 2022 as well, we've come out of this stage where we're not allowed to have, you know, one-on-one contact with people. So coming out of it, we all are quite touch-starved and we want to be active with someone. And I think that's really why this stat is probably so high. You know, we want to be getting laid. We want to be having sex. Yeah. We want to be having fun. So I can completely understand why that would be a priority for a lot of Kiwis.
I know that a lot of my friends that I've spoken to and people in the past just interviewing in general have felt maybe a bit lacking in confidence in the bedroom, or not having that kind of get up and go, even if they do want to go explore things like dating and their sexuality. Do you have any advice for people that are looking to gain confidence in this space?
I do. I think that if we're talking about how you are looking at people, we're talking about a dating app where you're assessing people based off their looks first and foremost, and then you're having a look at, okay, well, what have they got in their profile that I really like? You have to look at first and foremost, how are you presenting? I think that when it comes to our appearance, we have to really dress in a way that makes us feel really good, and we have to present in a way that is authentic with our representation. I think that in regards to confidence, confidence is something that we can create. You know, we're not born with confidence. It's something that we create over time. And if we do spend some time really being kinder to ourselves and making ourselves a priority and really starting to adjust maybe the way that our body language is working for us and the way that we lean into conversations, that can really help with confidence. So I've kind of been thinking maybe I need to do like an online course on how to be confident, like how to present yourself, how to, you know, roll your shoulders back and how to lean into conversations. So watch this space. I'll probably do that. I think also chemistry is a really interesting one, because some people do have that unexplainable chemistry that draws them to each other. You know, maybe it's trauma bonding, or maybe it's just the fact that there's something that they really like about each other. But that chemistry can really ignite attraction and confidence in both parties, I think. And it's important to, I think it's important to be aware of your surroundings. I see a lot of my patients really closed off to dating, and they don't know how to even get to the point where they are connecting with someone. They don't even lock eyes with someone. So that comes back to that confidence part, and really, I guess, exploring how you are engaging with others in the world.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into five very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned dating apps before and sort of seeing potential matches based on their looks. Just how much do you think are we putting on how people look when it comes to finding a sexual partner?
I think with open casting, we're changing it a little bit because we're changing the way that we date in terms of beyond our type. I do think initially you're always going to be caught on someone that you find attractive, right? So that's fine. People can be attractive. It doesn't mean that you're actually compatible. And I think there's a lot of people who rush into relationships that you look really good together, but are you necessarily meant to be with each other? I'm not sure. So that's why I really like that trend of open casting, because it does mean that you're going to be open to more options as well.
I think that kind of brings in the emotional intelligence thing that I thought was really interesting in that recent report, was how more people are finding that one of the most attractive traits in someone. Does it kind of go hand in hand with you've got that chemistry, but you want that sort of emotional intelligence and that, I almost want to say, that kind of deeper connection as well that can actually influence the sex life? Does it make that better? Do they go hand in hand? How do they kind of work together?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very layered question. I guess it really depends on what you're looking for. And if 40% of respondents were looking for emotional intelligence, and you're looking for that someone who's really able to have those deeper chats with you and to really see you and make you feel like you're a priority to them, you know, make sure that they're communicating very well with you, especially around the ways that they communicate, the ways that they value themselves, what they're doing to really learn with their emotional maturity. I think all of that goes hand in hand, especially for femmes. I think we really like to be able to have deeper conversations and feel emotionally connected to someone. So I think it's important in many, many different ways, because it will influence the way that we date and the way that we prioritize our dates as well.
A few weeks ago, we did an episode on polyamory, and I interviewed my sister, and that was really special because she's in a throuple, a closed throuple, so they only are with each other. And even in the last few weeks, I've met more people that are exploring this space. And I was wondering, do you think that we're just hearing about it more now and it's always been prevalent, or are we seeing an increase in people wanting to try out ethical non-monogamy or be in a relationship with several people at the same time?
I think it's more that it's becoming spoken about a lot more. I think that whilst it might be increasing in popularity, I think it's still not the norm in terms of mainstream society. And I think that, you know, people who face, I think people who are in ethically non-monogamous relationships do face a lot of stigma and discrimination still, and it's important that we have these conversations so that we can maintain a level of communication around polyamory and ethical non-monogamy, and realize that it's important that other people are allowed to make their own choices, and we have to respect those choices and types of relationships as well. But it's always been popular, you know. It's just that people were more private about it due to the social stigma and discrimination. I think that it's wonderful that you had your sister on the podcast, and I think it's wonderful that you're talking about it, because it brings increased awareness and acceptance, and people feel more comfortable in being open to non-monogamous relationships, which is what we can see from lots of people, I guess, talking about it a lot more. I think also with technology and social media, it's made it easier for people to connect with others who do share their interests and desires, including people who are interested in ethical non-monogamy as well. And I think that we do have changing attitudes towards monogamy too, because we're kind of questioning, you know, is this the only acceptable relationship style? And the truth is, no. You know, there's many different ways to love and form relationships, and ethical non-monogamy is one of them.
Yeah, because I feel like in the past it was like monogamous on one side, but then the men were able to go out and get with whoever they want in some societies. Do you have any advice for people that are wanting to try out a non-monogamous relationship or open up their relationship if they are in a monogamous relationship right now?
Yes, I think that first and foremost, you need to think about why do I want to do this? You know, what's it going to bring to my life as well? How am I going to communicate this with my partner? Am I using this as a band-aid, you know, for my current relationship? And you have to go into ethical non-monogamy with the right intentions and with the ability to communicate, because you can still cheat in ethically non-monogamous relationships. And it can also, you know, change your relationship in many ways too. So you have to really look at, okay, am I communicating really well? You know, am I discussing what my sexual preferences are, what my health status is, what my boundaries are with all my partners, make sure that everyone's cared for? How do I want to engage in this as well? What type of structure do I want to take? Do I want to be going to a sex club? Do I want to have a threesome? Do I want to have, you know, a don't ask, don't tell policy? You know, do your research. I think there's a lot of people that I have seen recently who are like, oh, I'm polyamorous, but they have no idea what that means. And it just means that they don't have to engage in anyone particularly well in a relationship. Instead of just saying, I'm casually dating, they kind of lean into this term that actually isn't suiting their lifestyle. I also think, you know, you have to remember that safety is super important. So making sure that you are using condoms, making sure you're asking the boundaries of your sexual partners, making sure that you are communicating with everyone around what are you in this for? What do you like about that other person? Make sure you're nurturing the relationships that you already have alongside the relationship that you're forming.
It's funny, I interviewed a therapist who like sort of specializes in helping people that are in like non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships. And she said that people that are in these types of relationships are often really good communicators, and that it's normally that, you know, because having one relationship and doing it well can be hard for anyone, let alone having multiple. And so she was like, generally people that are in these throuple type relationships are really good communicators because they can sort of maintain multiple close bonds at the same time. I have another question, and I love asking people questions like this because I feel like I think I would change a lot if I could go back in time. But for you, when you think about yourself when you were, say, 18 years old, do you have any advice that you would like to give to the younger version of you in terms of sex and dating and relationships?
In many ways, I don't, because I think I've had a really wonderful journey and every step along the way has been something to learn from. I think that probably saying it's important to prioritize yourself, and it's important to really make sure that your pleasure is also prioritized would be one thing that I would say. I would say get a womanizer earlier than you did. and I would say, like, don't be afraid to state your needs and to communicate what your boundaries are. I think that it's important. It would have been very important for me to recognize, I guess, my worth probably a lot more in my earlier years. And, you know, that's still an ongoing topic of conversation. You know, that's an ongoing effort for everyone, myself included. You know, how can I do better? How can I remain curious? How can I learn more? How can I be softer in my communication approaches, or smarter in many ways? So that's what I would say, is remain curious and then prioritize yourself.
Recently, I was speaking to a sex worker who's in her 70s now, and I was asking her about sort of her sex life when she was younger and sort of her sex life now. And one of the things that she mentioned, which I thought really rang true for me, but I imagine maybe a lot of other women, is that in the past she was kind of performing while having sex and not sort of in tune with her own pleasure. And I was wondering if this is a common thing for women, specifically maybe when they're just kind of starting to explore sex and relationships, in that feeling like they have to make their partner feel good and don't really focus on their own pleasure.
Yeah, that's very common. I mean, we learned that from pornography, and, you know, we didn't learn that we were allowed to ask for what we want in the bedroom. So, yeah, it's very common. And if you also think about all the rom-com movies that are out there, and all of them are around, you know, penetration-focused sexuality, and it's always hetero, and it's always three pumps, and it's kind of it, and there's no condom usage. So I can understand why performative sex would have been and still is the goal for many people, but we have to look at pleasure-orientated sex, and your pleasure is involved in that as well.
And for people wanting to do that, how do they kind of get out of their own heads and focus on that pleasure?
It's a you know, an effort that you have to make. And I think it's also about education. You know, are you also following people that are sex positive? You know, do you have people to talk about this with? Because you need to get that confidence around going, hey, can you do this from somewhere? And that comes from learning. So I think follow sex positive people. I think read books on sexuality or listen to podcasts like this. And I think just practice makes perfect. Start asking in a really nice way for what you want. Hey, I love it when you do that. Can we just move to the left a little bit here? Or can you use your finger here? You know, it doesn't have to be direct. It doesn't have to be critical. It has to be soft, nice, you know, direct, but not in a harsh way.
And just finally from myself, your one piece of advice to anyone out there navigating the dating world of today?
Oh, I think don't give up, you know, and I also think there's an opportunity for meeting someone everywhere that you go. You know, it's really about focusing on your confidence and how you present yourself and how engaged you are with others. And I think you have a lot to lose if you don't lean in. You know, time flies by and you could be wasting precious moments with someone that you might really enjoy or that you might learn a few things from. So, you know, if you are interested in dating, absolutely lean in and just go for it. You know, I think there's so many wonderful people out there, regardless of whether you end up in relationships or not. There's just so many wonderful people to meet. Alongside that, though, if you're happy being single, be single, because being single is so much fun and it's so great and it's a really great opportunity to take care of yourself and learn more about yourself.
Yeah. And my last question, I found this really interesting, but on a personal front, when I speak to my friends that are dating, that are going out, both, you know, people across genders, a lot of people were speaking about how they just don't use condoms now. And I was wondering if you've heard this in through your work and if this is increasing, because from my perspective, like, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac and I just... I'm like, no, you need to be safe. Like, if you're going out and going home with people, you know, for the first time, it could be quite risky if you're doing that every few weekends and you're not using any protection. Is that something that we're seeing more of, people not using protection, or is that just something maybe we're more aware of the importance of using protection now?
Well, I mean, if we were more aware of the importance, then we would probably be using protection a lot more, right? So it's more... I don't know if people are using condoms less, but I can imagine that would be so, to be honest. I think that there hasn't been enough condom education out there. And I think that a lot of people don't feel that confident in bringing condoms with them. Like, I think it's always important to have a condom with you, you know, regardless of what gender or orientation you are. You know, you can use condoms in multiple different ways for penises or for vulvas. And I think that to have the option there is super important, because if you're afraid that someone's going to decline to engage with you because you are asking them to wear a condom, there's plenty of people out there that will have sex with you because you've asked that. You know, if someone's saying no, then that's a really good indicator as to how they're going to respect you moving forward and your wants and needs. So if you want to wear condoms, bring the condom with you first and foremost. You're in charge of that. And also, if someone doesn't want to have sex with you because you've asked to use a condom, don't have sex with them. Find someone else to have sex with. There's plenty of fish in the sea.
Thank you so much. Do you have any last messages that you would like to share with the listeners?
No, I think just I hope everyone has a lot of fun out there. But, you know, I think be true to yourself when it comes to sexuality. Don't try and conform to societal expectations or pressures. I think embrace your sexuality and explore what feels really right for you.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for your time today, Chantel.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been such an awesome chat and such a privilege and honour to have you on our podcast. So thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
This In The Loop podcast episode for the New Zealand Herald was produced and presented by Cherie Kinnear and Katie Harris. The sound design and audio editor is James Irwin. The live studio producer is Kane Dickey. And podcast manager is Mitch Powell.